Time to talk good dental hygiene and good dental health with our guest, Dr. Kathy Giswold of Madison. She's a third-generation dentist. Her grandfather, Dr. Lauren Giswold, was followed by her father, Dr. Bill Giswold. And here comes Kathy. She did her residence in Portland, Oregon, and some volunteer dental work in Vietnam as well. And really a pleasure to have her with us today. And certainly, if you have some questions as we move along today, you are most welcome to join in. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. If you're in the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions and comments. Dr. Kathy Giswold, welcome.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, really great to have you with us today. You have kind of an unusual philosophy, I think. Maybe it's not unusual in dentistry. You want to help people stay out of the dentist chair.
Absolutely. I wouldn't actually say that I have an unusual philosophy. I would hope, I'm flattered that someone would think that, but I would hope that most dentists, and I believe most dentists, really try hard to help the patient be educated to reduce the amount of dental caries and periodontal disease that they occur over their lives. Many dentists form a lasting relationship with a patient, and that sometimes helps with that as well, being that in the past I have been able to work with patients that my grandfather and father worked. It helps to have that relationship.
You know, I think it really is true. When I was a kid, I went to Dr. Thompson, and then his son came along, and after Dr. Thompson retired, I had the next Dr. Thompson, Bill Thompson, and he's retired. And we still exchange Christmas cards and notes with he and his wife, even though they've left the area. It does really get to be almost like a family relationship, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Well, what's the biggest mistake that people make? I mean, is it a lack of brushing? Is it a lack of flossing? Is it what?
I think it's a combination of many factors. Diet, of course, being a very large factor. People who consume soda and many refined sugars in general tend to have more dental caries. Certainly smoking can play a factor in dental hygiene as well as overall health, and just, you know, taking good care of your teeth. So I guess my philosophy, as you referred to before, is that I really try to educate people to reduce their intake of those refined sugars. And if they do intake them, to have them brush and floss following, or at the very minimum, rinse their mouth out after they have a soda, for example. Really helps to reduce those sugars sitting and combining with the bacteria causing decay.
What about sugar-free diet kinds of drinks? Are they as bad a problem, or are they still a problem?
It's an improvement, but it's certainly still acids sitting on your teeth, causing erosion of the enamel, causing dental caries.
Okay, so even though we say, okay, well, I'm going to drink diet, so I'm not going to have to worry about it, the acids in the diet drinks can create just almost as big a problem.
Absolutely. I wouldn't say quite as big, certainly, because a hardcore Mountain Dew drinker can do some serious damage.
Okay.
But diet is an improvement.
Well, you mentioned smoking, and that certainly came to mind in terms of something that can cause a person's teeth to discolor. But why do teeth discolor?
There's many different reasons why teeth discolor. Certain medications that one has taken during their life, such as certain antibiotics during development, can cause discoloration of teeth, which is something obviously more internal versus an external soda coloring, red wine coloring. But many things cause staining, coffee, tea. Tea's a big one. Red wine, dark sodas, and then things you wouldn't think of, prescription rinses that we prescribe. Typically, those rinses can be taken off during a cleaning, but other things that cause discoloration and staining, age-related Yeah. As we age, our teeth wear, and it can, the internal portion of the tooth is a little bit darker in color. Therefore, your teeth don't look as white as they used to.
Tell you what, Judy in Grand Marsh has a question for you. So let's go to Judith. Great. Hi, Judith. Thanks for calling.
You're welcome. I love your show.
Thank you.
I have lots of dental work. I'm getting older. Finally got around to getting a water pick, which I wish I had had years ago. I'd like advice on what volume to use. I'm starting out on one or two the way they said, and that seems way powerful enough. With bridges and pockets around my gums, I don't have really dental disease, gum disease that I know of. But what? How would I ever get up to 10? I would think I would blow my tongue off.
And it also can be quite a mess, can't it?
Yes.
I would say just do your best to work your way up over time. I know as well if you have a electric toothbrush, at first it feels like it's vibrating your head off.
Mm-hmm.
And as you get more and more used to it, it becomes much more comfortable. So ideally, maybe a 9 or a 10 might even be too much, powerful.
How would I know if that was, would I do damage with it?
I wouldn't say that you would do damage, but I would say that, you know, if you could, probably a 1 or a 2 is a little bit on the light side, and really getting down and irrigating the pockets around your teeth may be more beneficial to try and increase a little bit more. And how would you do that? Just over time, like I said, and then if you feel that it's hurting, I would say back off.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thanks very
thank
much
you.
For calling. You know, I had a device like that. I don't use it anymore, to be perfectly honest, but I had one that actually attached to the shower head.
Right, right.
So I've you could do it right in the shower.
And not as messy, right?
No, not nearly as messy. And it worked pretty well. And in time, it sort of broke, and I've gone on to other ways of doing it. But I would imagine it'd be pretty messy, and just using it over the sink, especially at that 9 or 10 level.
Now they have a control device that you can place your thumb on to stop the water when you're coming in and out, so that you don't drench the entire vanity.
We were talking about discolored teeth and so forth. Are there good whitening toothpastes?
Whitening toothpastes are nice to remove stain. The American Dental Association seal of approval, toothpaste that they recommend, have special chemical or polishing agents that provide additional stain removal. But really, to actually change the intrinsic color of your teeth, toothpastes are not going to accomplish that, probably as most people would hope. Therefore, I would recommend referring someone to their general dentist to have a view of why are their teeth stained? Is there certain things they're drinking, eating that are causing the stain? And that way, they could come up with a more tailored, personal mm-hmm. way of whitening as opposed to toothpaste that removes superficial stain.
Yeah, and could those abrasive toothpaste, they would be abrasives often, or is that
light abrasives?
True?
The American Dental Association would probably recommend things that don't remove tooth structure primarily.
Yeah.
So anything endorsed by the American Dental Association, I usually feel is a good thing.
Comfortable with. Okay. Mike and Amory, we'll give you a chance. Hi, Mike. Thanks for calling.
Sure. Good morning.
Morning.
I was reading about a new type of toothbrush. It's a powered toothbrush, and it's an ultrasonic toothbrush. It uses combination ultrasonic and sonic vibrations, and I was wondering, I think it's called the Ultrio or something like that.
Okay.
I'm wondering if you are familiar with it, and is it very good at brushing teeth, you know, much better than any other powered toothbrush?
I'm not familiar with that particular brand, but I do feel that the toothbrushes that provide the sonic waves do an improved job of cleaning your teeth better than a regular toothbrush because of the mechanical rotation, for example, or vibration, knocking plaque and tartar off your teeth.
So the Sonics, as opposed to the electric toothbrushes that, I'm trying to think of Oral-B or something
right,
like that.
Right, that spin around. I prefer the Sonic Waves myself, and in fact, that's what I use personally. Go ahead.
They've gone one step further now. They use what's called ultrasonics, which is even a higher frequency than the Sonic toothbrushes.
Okay.
So, this one's called Ultreo. I think it's Ultreo.
I'll
and
have
it's
to check
only
it out.
Available through dentists. You can only purchase it. You can't buy it online. You can't buy it on eBay or through a store. It's only available professionally through dentists. And they're very expensive. I think they're like $149.
Boo!
Right. So, I know the Sonicare as well up there.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
The Sonicare as well is quite pricey, but I feel it does an excellent job of cleaning.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
All right.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Jack in Boston, your turn. Hi, Jack.
Hi, how are you, Larry?
Great, thanks for calling.
Yeah.
What can we do for you?
Well, I think there's two philosophies in regards to some, like, periodontal disease. One is surgery. There's an oral surgical method. And then there's another one called dental scaling, which is done, I believe, by a hygienist with additional training or something like that. I'd appreciate any comments off air here.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks for calling.
Well, the two philosophies you are referring to, I see as steps in care of periodontal disease. The first case being what's called scaling and root planing. That's meant to go down a little bit deeper than a regular cleaning. And the reason we would do that would be to remove those deposits that one is not able to reach with floss or brushing. The second surgical intervention that you're referring to is a more aggressive approach, but maybe due to the fact that someone has much deeper pockets that could even be reached by doing a scaling procedure.
So that is literally a surgery then?
Well, I like to see it as teasing the gum gingiva back under anesthetic, not general anesthetic, not sedation, just if needed. Obviously, someone had an anxiety issue, you could do something of that sort. But just local anesthetic and teasing the gums back, providing the an ability to see better and remove those deposits in that manner. Typically, these days now, they're doing even more things such as grafting, bone grafting in those pockets. Once they've opened up the area and cleaned it out, they're able to graft bone to help you regenerate some bone, as bone will not regenerate on its own.
All right. Thanks very much for calling. We have more callers online. We'll get to talking about implants or bridges coming up next year. But first, we'll take a look at the news. I'm Larry Mueller with Dr. Kathy Griswold of Madison, third-generation dentist, here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking about good dental hygiene, good dental health today with Dr. Kathy Griswold of Madison, third-generation dentist. Really happy to have her. She practices here in Madison, and we're happy to have her with us today. And certainly join in if you have a question or comment for her. All our lines are filled right now. But the number to call is 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. And because those lines are filled, let's go right to them. Jerry in Portage, hello to you.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's on your mind?
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was wondering if she could give me some examples or share with us what might be some advantages and disadvantages of bridges over implants.
I would be happy to do that. Certainly, there's several advantages and disadvantages of both, as you can imagine. Implants, if people are not familiar, is more or less a titanium root placed into the jaw, and then a crown is placed on top of that. An advantage of an implant would be if you have teeth on each side that have never had any type of dental restoration or work done to them. Therefore, because if you have a tooth that's had work done to it, you'd much rather cover those with crowns as opposed to cutting on brand new, beautiful teeth.
Right.
So that would be one advantage of an implant. If you have nothing wrong with the teeth on each side, I would highly recommend the implant.
Okay.
A disadvantage of an implant would be if bone was an issue. Let's say, for example, you had a very small amount of bone remaining due to periodontal disease, history of periodontal disease, and you were getting close to the nerve in your jaw. That might be a disadvantage of an implant. You wouldn't want to place an implant right into that area. These days, there's certain types of CT that we can do to review the whole area as opposed to a one-dimensional view. So that really helps with our placement using CT.
Does age have anything to do with it?
Age wouldn't, depending upon medical problems, smoking would be another disadvantage of doing an implant. If you're a smoker, implants typically just do not do as well in a person who smokes. Therefore, you might consider going with the bridge.
Well, I'm not a smoker, so thank you very much for your help.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Jamie in Madison, your turn. Hi, Jamie.
Hi there. I have a few questions, and I can take the answers off the air. The first is, do you recommend flossing or water pick, or one over the other? The second is, how do you make time for flossing? Because I just have really, I have a lot of difficulty do that. Like, do people do it in the car? I mean, when do they make, when you have children and you have deadlines, it's like, I really want to floss, and I want my teeth to stay in my face. But I have a really difficult time with that. So I'm wondering, is a water pick faster? And then my last question is, I have a confession to make. I've gone to the dentist before, and I've told them that I flossed when I hadn't. And I'm wondering, can you tell
you
when
lied?
A person... I just felt so horrible because it's like, how hard is it to floss? But I have a really hard time with that. And now I have the first stages of periodontal disease, so it's like... Obviously, it pays off to floss. But so I'm wondering, can you tell when a person says that they floss and they don't? I'll take that off the air.
I'm pretty sure that you could tell, couldn't you, Kathy? Dr. Giswold?
What did you say your name again was?
Jamie.
Jamie. Okay, Jamie. Jamie, I would say that when you're lying, we probably know. But there's been a few occasions where people have been able to fool, but usually they're younger people. So if you can keep that habit up of not flossing, I think over time you will develop the signs of periodontal disease.
And it sounds like she already has. So
right.
In terms of flossing versus a water pick, do you...
I personally really like the water pick. I think it does a lot for people who have... crowns and bridges and really cleans out underneath them. Some people say that a water pick really isn't a substitute for flossing because you can still get you still have plaque then in between your teeth because where the contacts are, it doesn't remove all of that plaque. Therefore, you may end up not reducing your caries risk with the water pick. But for people with periodontal disease, I feel it seems to really get down under the gums and flush out.
So
extensive dental work. If someone who's had extensive crowns, really it helps to keep that tissue healthy, I think. Some patients even do flossing in the morning and water pick at night. We have to love them.
And I tell you what, Jamie... if you got one of these contraptions that hooks up to your shower,
there you go.
You can shower if you're so short of time. Use one hand with the bar of soap and the other hand with a water pick. I'm just being facetious here, but actually those can work. And once you're in the shower anyway, spend a couple minutes on that.
Absolutely, I would see that as an excellent option.
Now I've reached into my pocket and pulled out what I use. The time, which are Stimudent plaque removers.
Okay.
And I have to tell you that Joy, my dental hygienist, raves about my my gums and my teeth and
great.
Says that they're great. And I frankly, use them in place of flossing.
I would bet you spend more time using those than someone who flosses. That's my guess.
Probably, but I
see. And you maybe are more meticulous because if that's what you're used to.
Yeah, it's something that I'm used to. And frankly, if I'm, you know, when I have lunch, when I, you know, I'm sitting in my office usually after the show eating lunch, well, I just pull one out and I just right away. So nothing stays in there.
Is she aware you use that? Or does
yes.
she?
Oh, yeah,
she's
she
recommended it.
She knows that okay. I use it because when she actually goes to floss my teeth, she has a hard time doing it too.
Oh, really?
At the end of her, you know, at the end of the cleaning, she has a problem with it herself. So
there's a lot of devices that they've come up with for people. Some people's hands are too big and they say, I just can't get my hands in my mouth. You know, mm-hmm. There's just not enough space.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's types of flossers that are on a stick. It almost looks like. It's a reach flosser, and it
yeah.
can get up there and reach. And it's certainly better than doing no flossing.
Yeah, but I recommend these little sticks. They're like yeah. kind of like a toothpick, only
right.
only
right.
I think they do a better job.
It's rubber tipped?
No.
No. Okay,
no.
So it's wood?
Plain old wood.
Oh, okay.
Mint flavored. There you have it.
Excellent.
Thanks a lot for calling, Jamie. I think we got all water pick flossing. How do people find time for flossing? What, how long does it take to floss? About a minute.
A minute. It's
1 minute.
It's
Jamie.
One. Yeah, it's one extra thing. And once you get in the habit of it, you'll realize when you don't do it, what is in between, what is left behind after brushing. Brushing just will not get it all out. And
nope.
you'll realize after you get into the habit and establish that as a daily habit, it's something that you can't go without.
So there you have it, Jamie. Thanks for calling. And Louise in Platteville, I believe, is next. Hi, Louise. Thank you very much for calling.
I had a question regarding periodontal work.
Sure.
I was told by my dentist that I should have some periodontal work done. And my question is, then shouldn't that be done by a periodontist instead of a regular dentist? And should I get a second opinion? My dentist has been quite aggressive in pushing this, and mm-hmm. I'm not sure for whose benefit we're speaking.
Okay, so it sounds to me like you have hesitation about the treatment recommended.
I do.
I would absolutely encourage you then to get a second opinion. I'm more than happy when people have questions about what I recommend to say, hey, I can even recommend someone for you. I would love for you to get a second opinion. Then you feel sure that what was recommended is absolutely necessary. I also think that, I'm sorry, what was your second question?
Well, shouldn't it be done by a periodontist?
Oh, that's a great question. Most dental hygienists are trained to do deeper scaling and root planing. I'm sorry, most, all dental hygienists are trained to do scaling and root planing under local anesthetic. Wisconsin allows the hygienist to even administer local anesthetic. So not necessarily done. In my clinic, for example, we have some excellent hygienists who I wholeheartedly trust are doing a great job. And I can even review after the scaling has been done. If it's noted on x-ray, I can see, well, that piece of calculus is gone. I don't see it on the x-ray, you know, six months, year later. So it's not always necessary. I do feel that there's definite advantages and disadvantages of seeing a periodontist. It depends on your pocket depths as well. If you have limited pocket depths in a few areas and they aren't 10 millimeter pockets, I would say that absolutely, you know, even 6-7s could be reached by a hygienist. But it would, if you have, you know, much deeper pockets, then by all means, you should see a periodontist.
Okay. Right. But a second opinion is probably the first.
Yes.
It seems to me you feel uncomfortable about what was recommended, and I think you'd feel better knowing going ahead with it that you were. And you can always ask to see a periodontist if you'd like. I mean, I think that's perfectly reasonable to request, may I see a periodontist first before we go ahead with this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. That answers my question,
good.
And I feel better after hearing this.
Great.
Right.
Thank you very much.
You bet.
And here's a note to Jamie, who asked about how do people find time. Brenda from Nina is, as we speak, in her car, flossing.
Fabulous.
And she
don't crash.
She recommends others do the same if they're strapped for time. She's probably using one of these little devices that you described earlier.
A one-hand device.
A one-hand device that has the little flaw stuck between, kind of like a prong there.
I could see that stopped in traffic. I would be a little concerned about flossing.
Or maybe if she's riding with someone else in the car.
Oh, you know, my mother actually uses the interproximal little brushes, and she does do that in the car now that I think about it.
Rob in Madison, it's your turn. Hi, Rob.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just moved to Madison a few years ago for school. I'm a student. And I was wondering if Kathy could recommend a good dentist in the campus area for me.
A good dentist in the campus area. I apologize. Well, there's two First Choice Dental locations in the campus area on Regent Street. Those are two that come to mind.
Okay.
And personally, I can't think of anyone at the moment. I'm not familiar with the campus area as much.
Okay.
But we can take your email and I could get you, you know, shoot you off an email of someone if I talk to some colleagues.
Sure.
Okay. If that would help.
Hang on.
Could I email?
Yeah, just, do you want to give your email or do you want to just have him email you? Or
he could email me. That'd be great.
Okay. What's your email address? Let's see. Do you have your email address? Hold on a second. Or do you have a website?
We do have a website.
That's probably the easiest way to do it.
It's www.madisoncosmeticdentist.com.
Okay.
So just go online and you're going to find...
Right. And you can email me directly or my partner directly.
All right. I'll do that.
Great.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And you can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions or comments as we talk good dental care with Dr. Kathy Giswold of Madison. Pam in Sussex, you are next. Hi, Pam. Thank you for calling.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm in my car on my cell phone, but I'm not flossing my teeth.
Okay, good.
What I'd like to let you know is I've had braces in the past, and I know they create pockets. I floss daily. I water pick. I have an electric oral B.
Mm-hmm.
My problem is I have a rare autoimmune disease called Behçet's.
Okay.
And what it does at times, and as right now I'm having a problem, I go through flares, and it creates aphthous ulcers in my mouth. And they can be in clusters, or they can be as big as an inch around in
Correct.
My mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And my lips swell, they crack, my gums swell, they bleed.
Oh, that sounds awful.
My tongue cracks, is completely dry. And I have dental paste that they give me just to cover it.
Okay.
But the minute it gets wet, it dissolves. My question is to you, what is there to help me through these particular flares? Because this can go on for weeks.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear
and,
that. What type of toothpaste do you use?
I use Sensodyne and a non-whitening. But,
okay.
When this happens, too, toothpaste, mouthwashes, they just sting.
I could imagine.
Oh, yeah. Do you take any medication, ibuprofen, to help with the pain at all?
I have prescription pain pills.
Okay.
So, but, you know, that only masks the problems because it gets to the point where I can't eat.
Okay. I bet.
And only liquid is available. But I've done a lot of research on my disease, but this seems to be one area that they don't know a lot. And I don't know if it's going to damage my gums more in the long run.
I would say not necessarily. I don't get the ulcers to the degree you do, but I do get them myself, and I've never had any problem with damaging of the gums. I do actually use a toothpaste that you can pick up at Whole Foods, and I use the one with fluoride, but I use a natural toothpaste. Some say that the compound in some toothpaste called sodium lauryl sulfate can contribute to those ulcers.
Okay.
So I use a toothpaste called Jason. And
Jason is? Okay.
Jason, the name. It's does mine. I did want to pick one with fluoride in it to help prevent caries. You may consider trying that. I feel I've had a slight reduction in the number of ulcers that I do get. That would just be more my own trial and error as far as anything you can do. There's a few products on the market that you can use to sort of cauterize the ulcer and prevent it. Have you ever tried any of those?
No. I don't even know the names of those.
There's one that we have at our office called Debacteril, and it's Debacteril. And what that does is it cauterizes the ulcer. You're talking about a significant number of ulcers, and I can't imagine that that would make it better. This is more for a use in trying to prevent, because they usually last for 10 to 14 days, correct?
Yes, and then, you know, that the cap of it falls off. I do, like, I have that dental paste, and then I have a liquid lidocaine.
Oh, right,
that
right.
I can put on, but that
so that you can just eat.
Yeah, but, you know, that only lasts so long. Is there a toothpaste that has lidocaine in it?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. I'm kind of stuck in a hard roll, and then I'm worried about long-term, you know, the damage to the gums and the
I'm not bone. Aware of that particular disease causing long-term damage, but it sounds incredibly uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you for your time.
Yeah,
thanks
for calling. I just went online just to look up Jason Toothpaste, and if you don't have a Whole Foods or a company or a store that sells it in your area, you can order it online as well. Be ordered online. And Monica in Madison, your turn. Hi.
Hi, Larry. Hi, Dr. Giswold.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing fine. As a daughter of a dentist, I'm quite picky. Actually, I should be doing what Dr. Giswold's doing, but didn't go that way. But anyway, a young man was calling about a dentist in Madison, and I should say a dentist in the campus area. If you don't mind me saying, after going through a couple of dentists in town, I found that Dr. Jay Hazen's staff over on the West Washington area, both he and his staff are quite competent, in my opinion.
Thank you for that suggestion. I don't know him personally, but I do know that his colleague, and she's an excellent person, so I didn't think of that, but thank you
for
that recommendation.
That's quite all right. And again, like I said, I'm a bit picky, and so I went through a couple of dentists in the campus area before I did get to Dr. Hazen, and I've been with him 10 years now, so.
That's great. Great recommendation.
Thank you very much for calling, Monica. Appreciate it. And Kate in Appleton, let's give you a try. Hi, Kate.
Hi. I'm one of those people, maybe an anomaly, I like to think so. My teeth are extraordinarily healthy, and I'm someone who's maybe a little lackadaisical about the dentist because of it, where I go in, you know, maybe every 3-4 years, and they say, okay, we'll see you in 6 months. And I say, it's been 4 years, and they can't believe it. So I'm really lucky that my teeth are strong. But I did manage to chip one, and it's not a visible chip. It's sort of on the flat part. It kind of runs up and down where, like, a flake of the tooth came off.
Okay.
And that's my own fault. I like to
front or back teeth? Bones.
It's a front, right to the side of your very front teeth.
Oh, okay.
That next tooth over.
Very common area chipped.
Is it? Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, what I'm wondering is if I go in and have them repair it, my teeth are quite white, although I expect as they age, they'll change a little bit, and I'm worried that the whatever they fill it with won't change with my teeth. Do they have something now that's a little better with matching color?
Are you referring to short-term or long-term? So in the short-term, we are great at matching teeth for the most part, depending upon the person's staining type and different.
Right.
But long-term, you're correct. The fillings, restorations over time either darken in color, but they never whiten. For example, if you whiten your teeth, they will not whiten as well.
Okay. Well, it hasn't bothered me at all.
Okay.
And it's probably been 6 months now since I've done it. Mm-hmm. And it hasn't changed color. I mean, I was afraid that it was going to get sort of yellowed.
Staining
in area.
There, right.
Yeah, and I haven't had any problem with that yet. Is this something that I have to fix?
Not necessarily, but I think I would highly recommend have it checked out, not being able to see the size of the chip. I mean, you know, some people's idea of a chip is a tiny little chip, and, you know, it could be a large chip according to your dentist. So you may want to have it checked out just to make sure. It's always optional. Certainly you can choose whether you want to fill it or not. And sometimes it's difficult for those anterior fillings to stay long term, depending upon how you bite your teeth bite together.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And Dr. Giswold, you mentioned your website, and let's mention that again if people want to take a look at it.
We're at www.madisoncosmeticdentist.com.
MadisonCosmeticDentist.com. MadisonCosmeticDentist.com.
That's right.
Real pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Hope we can do it again.
I'd love to.
Yeah, Dr. Kathy Giswold of Madison. MadisonCosmeticDentist.com.
Dentist.com.
Madison Cosmetics. Is it cosmetics?
Cosmetic Dentist.
MadisonCosmeticDentist.com.
There we have it.
All right. Thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you so much.
Coming up tomorrow, Jim Packard filling in for me. He'll be talking with Jeff Richter and John Bates on their new book on albino deer. It's called White Deer. Thanks for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.